say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
This week, first, I have three things I really want to talk about in regards to plateaued ministry versus effective ministry. And the first one is the issue of exercising faith. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, if you would turn there, please, if you're not there already. And I want to settle in here. And really, it's the greatest chapter in the Bible on the topic and the issue of faith and the aspects of faith and what faith really looks like. We see faith all the way through the scriptures, but in this particular chapter, it is the hyper, if you'd say, concentrated teaching on the subject. So we pick it up in chapter 11, verse number 1. The danger of Hebrews 11 is, especially as a church like ours, we're so familiar with Hebrews chapter number 11 that we can miss some very important things that are in there, and or sometimes we forget some things that are in there. So chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. In fact, this is the only place in the Bible where we see, now a lot of other people define what they believe faith means. Charles Stanley says faith is believing that God will do what he said that he will do. And I've given over the years several different views from men, and we'll give a couple today about what faith really is. But when the Bible comes down to defining what faith is, it describes it as it's the substance of things hoped for. Now, if you're like me, I spent a lot of years wondering exactly, well, what does that exactly mean? And I knew that I struggled to understand it because I didn't understand what the word substance meant in the context of that verse. We know that faith is the substance of things that we hope to receive one day. But substance means this. It means that which is placed under. Now, it can mean other things in other contexts, but in this particular case, it means that which is placed under, and from that, then, we draw this. It's the ground of the things that we hope for. It is the basis of things that we hope for. It is the foundation of things that we hope for. It is the support of things that we hope for. So faith is the ground. It's the basis of. It's what supports, it's what founds or makes a well-founded hope that we have faith, and that's what supports, is the ground of, is the basis of the hope that we have. It is also evidence. It's not just substance of things hoped for, it is evidence. But it is, faith is evidence of things that is not, that are not seen. And you might say, well, how can you believe in something that you haven't seen? And the truth is, we do it all the time. It's just we got to learn to do that in regards to God. Albert Barnes said, the word here has reference to something which imparts reality in the view of the mind of those which are not seen, of things which are not seen. The word here has reference to substance. It has reference to something which gives us, it imparts reality, that something's real, in the view of the mind to those things which are not seen, which serves to distinguish them from those things which are unreal or elusive. It is substance, it is what enables us to feel and act as if they were real, or which causes them to exert an influence over us as if we saw them. Faith does this on all other subjects, as well as religion. And this is an interesting statement. A belief that there is such a place as London or Calcutta would lead people to act as if this were so. I mean, would you fly to London if you didn't really believe it existed? Just a kind of an odd question. Anybody here ever been to London, England? London, England, just raise your hand. Okay, so three people. Okay, so three or four. So just out of curiosity, how many of you actually believe London, England exists? Raise your hand real high. Anybody not believe it exists? Okay, but so the truth is, there's only about three people in here have actually been to London and have seen it with their eyes, but none of us doubt its existence. And that's faith. You believe something and it is real to you, even if you haven't necessarily seen that with your own eyes. Faith also is this. It says a belief that money may be made in a certain undertaking. That if you take this job, you're going to make a certain amount of money. But that leads people to act as if this were so. I went in and got a haircut this week. And almost always, the guy cuts my hair before I give him the money. So in a sense, he cuts my hair by faith, believing that I'm going to pay him at the end. And I haven't tried yet to get up to go, yeah, that's a horrible job, I'm out of here. If any of you have done that, let me know how that went. Probably not very well. But it's by faith that we even work jobs with the belief that we're going to get paid at the end of it. He said these words, as long as faith continues, whether it be well-founded or not, it gives all the force of reality. As long as faith exists, it gives all the force of reality to what is believed. We feel and we act, Barnes says, just as if it were so, or as if we saw the object before our eyes, even though we have never seen it. And that's what faith is. It is substance. It's the basis, the ground of the things that we hope for: heaven, eternal life, a new heaven and a new earth. It's the substance that supports that hope. It is also evidence of things that we've never seen. Anybody ever seen Jesus with your eyes? Well, no, but we don't doubt that he exists. We have not seen the rapture of the church yet, but if I die before the rapture takes place, I'm not going to doubt the rapture. I'm just going to know that God didn't going to do it until after I was gone. And so faith is substance. It is also evidence. When you get to verse number 2, there's something even interesting there. For by it the elders obtained a good report. So we know that faith, number 1, is substance, it's evidence. Number 2, we know that by it the elders got a good report. You might say, like I used to think, well, I don't really understand what that means. It's really pretty simple. When we were in school, every 9 weeks or so, they would give us a report card. And that report card said, now I don't know what it says today, but it used to say A, B, C, D, and F. That's what it used to have. And there was no, we're passing you because whatever. And so you would bring that report card home and you would have to give it to your parents. And then it would either be a good report or it would be a bad report. And I still remember the day, the only C I ever got from kindergarten all the way up through high school was in conduct in the 6th grade. And I still remember the C. And I still remember that better never happen again, right? And if that didn't help, the SWAT that I got did from the teacher. By faith, we obtain a good report that God says, you know, good job. Faith provokes us to do things that when God looks at our life, he's like, and he'll say stuff like this, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Verse number 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made not of things which do appear. So by faith we understand things that the lost world doesn't understand. Because not only is faith the substance and evidence that we need for the hope that we have, or to keep serving, even when we don't see it yet, right before our eyes. It's not only what we get a good report with God about, but it also helps us understand things that the unsaved world doesn't. Verse number 6 says, But without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. The reason it's impossible to please God without faith is because he that cometh to God must believe that he is. A few years ago, if you would have asked me to define what that he is means, I would say that he exists, but that's not what it says. And that's the problem with any of us when we start changing words in the Bible, that if you change it to something else, it doesn't say that for God to be pleased with us, we have to believe he exists. Now, that's a part of it. But when Jesus came on the scene, he said stuff like this: I am the way. So God, speaking about himself, says, I am. When we are dealing with God, we have to believe that he is. See, Jesus is the I am. He said, I am the way to get to heaven. I am the truth. If you wonder what's the truth about how to really be a believer and get to God, Jesus said, I'm the truth. But the question is, do you believe by faith that he is? Do you believe he is the way? Do you believe that Jesus is the truth? He said, I am the truth. And he said, I am the life. Do you believe that in Christ there is eternal life? Do you believe that he is the life? Do you believe that he is the door? He said, I am the door to heaven. He said, I am the good shepherd. So the question is, do you believe he is? Because the reason we have to have faith to please God is because we have to begin to operate in relationship to God as he is, whether you have ever seen it yet or whether you have not. And not only do you believe we operate on the basis that he is who he said he is, but we also, in verse number 6, that he is a rewarder of those that will diligently, or that diligently seek him. And so we have to start operating in relationship to God by faith, which is the support and the ground of the hope that we have. It's the evidence of things that we haven't seen yet. By that faith, we get a good report. By that faith, we understand things that the lost world don't understand. And by that faith, we please God to believe that he is and that he's going to reward those people that will diligently seek him. Corrie Ten Boom said this: faith sees the invisible. Faith sees the invisible. You might say, well, how can you see something that you haven't even seen yet? Because you see it with your spiritual eyes. By faith. You see the invisible. Faith believes the unbelievable. You might say that could never happen in human standards. But the Bible says that all things are possible with God. It sees the invisible. It believes the unbelievable. And then, Corrie Ten Boom said, it receives the impossible. And that really is the story of Hebrews chapter number 11. That there were some people that began to operate in regards to God on the basis of faith. Now, faith is only as good as the one that you are putting faith in. So if you put your faith in, for example, if you think that Frosty the Snowman can get you to heaven, you can believe that until you're blue in the face, but that's a bad place to trust. But putting your faith in God, that's a good place to trust. Putting your faith in man, the Bible says, we're going to end up being disappointed, but the Bible teaches that God is a place that you can put your hope in and your faith in, and rely on him, and you won't end up being ashamed. So when we get to verse number 13, I'm going to skip and then I'm going to come back. The common things that we see among these people who were great people of faith is they all died, not without faith, but they died in faith. And the truth is that they died in faith, not having received the promises. Now, it doesn't mean that they didn't get things that God promised them. It just means that everything that God promised them, they didn't necessarily get before they passed away and left this life. But they saw them, verse number 13, but having seen them afar off, and they were persuaded of them. And the truth is, he says, they embraced them. So all these great people of faith did this. They died in faith. And some of the promises that God had promised them, they did not receive yet while they still were alive. Because the truth is, there are some promises that we're not going to get in our lifetime that we get once we get to heaven. And truth is, there are promises that God has given that in the timing of God's great program, they're not supposed to happen yet. And we're hoping sometimes that they happen in our lifetime, but sometimes in God's great plan, which we are not the center of, Jesus is, there are promises that God doesn't want to happen for another 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 100 years, 1,000 years after people were dead and gone. But because they had faith, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but even though they didn't receive them yet, they saw them afar off. And in fact, they were persuaded of them and they embraced them. And the other common characteristic of these great people of faith is they confess that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Now you find a true believer doesn't have their hopes tied up in this world. Things that will be gone, perish, burn up one day. And the truth is, people that are of faith, we're looking for a better country. In fact, we're looking for a city, the Bible teaches us. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, verse 14, and truly if they had been mindful, if that had been their focus of that country that they whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now, since they became people of faith, they desire a what? A better country. That is, the new country that they're looking for is an heavenly one. Wherefore, for which reason, God is not ashamed to be called their God. In fact, for he has prepared for them a city. So when we talk about the issue of real faith, we're talking about people that don't just have faith for a little period of time and then walk away. No, these great people of faith, they died in faith. They died in faith, sometimes not receiving the things that they were holding on to that they were going to receive during their lifetime. But they saw those things afar off. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, waiting for a better country. Now, there are some common characteristics of people that are of faith. And then there are some things that are different. Because that's where faith really begins to look somewhat different. Verse 4. Now let's talk about a few of these people. By faith, Abel. Remember Cain and Abel, right? By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated. You might say, how in the world did he get translated when nobody else in his day got translated? And the answer is, by faith. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God translated him, for before his translation, he had the testimony that he pleased God. By faith, Noah. So this looks a little bit different because Abel's faith was displayed in what he sacrificed to the Lord amidst hostility. Enoch's faith was expressed and seen because he was translated when other people weren't. When you get to verse 7, by faith, Noah's faith looked like this, that he was warned of God of things not seen as yet, that there's coming a flood, and he moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and he became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So for him, for Noah, it was building a boat. For Abraham, in verse number 8, by faith Abraham was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, and he obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. How would you like to do that? By faith, that God's like, pack up your family, pack up your stuff, and move. Where am I going, God? I'm not telling you exactly, you just follow me. Anybody on board for that? Listen, only by faith. But he did that. In fact, verse 9, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles and tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. When you get to verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, I guess it is 90, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And the truth is that every one of these people that it speaks about in this chapter, by faith, Abraham, verse number 17. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. When you get to verse number 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. When you get to verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. So in each one of these circumstances, what we find is even though they had some common characteristics, that they believed these promises, they embraced them, and they lived as if those things were going to take place, that we see that their faith looked a little bit different in their particular circumstances. It also not just required them to exercise faith, but the second thing is it required risk. Now, if you want everything to be 100% worldly guarantee, you're never going to do much for God. And sometimes, especially when we get older or we get a bunch of stuff, we want to start playing it safe and not take a risk because we don't want to lose what we have. I mean, it's easier to risk when you have nothing to lose, but what about when you have a bunch of stuff that you could potentially lose? Are you still willing to take the risk based upon faith in God? These people took risks. Look at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, the guy had the world by the tail. And he walked away from all the riches of Egypt, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God because he believed that God paid better than Egypt did by faith. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And he did that because he esteemed the riches of Christ, or the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Are we like that? Do we believe that serving Jesus Christ is so valuable that we would rather people mock us, make fun of us, tell us how goofy we are, and take the reproach of Christ and abandon the riches of the world because we believe that God's program is better and that he is the right one? For he had respect, at the end of verse 26, Moses had respect unto the recompense of reward. He believed that God was going to reward him by faith. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover, verse 28. When you get to verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. When you get to verse number 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. When you get to verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not. When you get to verse number 33, who through faith they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions. Amen! And we know the stories of the people, the great people of faith in the past that saw those things. They quenched the violence of fire. Love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And then it turns this and it says, and others were tortured. Now we all like that up to that point. Subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. I mean, that's what we love. That's what we're walking away from the things of the world for. That's what we're coming to Christ because we want to see all those positive things. But sometimes their faith didn't necessarily mean that everything was a bed of roses. In fact, if you've got to have safety, that's plateaued attitude versus sacrifice. Because the truth is, in verse number 34, or excuse me, verse 35, others were what? Tortured. Not accepting deliverance. Hey, if we'll back off of this torture if you just denounce Christ, but they weren't going to denounce Christ. Because people of faith know that Jesus is worth more than all the world. They were tortured, not accepting deliverance. That they did that they might obtain a better resurrection. That's a resurrection to life. Others in verse 36, they had trial of cruel mockings. Would you and I be willing to take that for Jesus? We may find out. We may find out. I mean, we'd love to be the people that stopped the mouths of lions, that God delivered us out of the burning fiery furnace. But the truth is, there was a lot of believers that were tortured and killed. And they went through that without denouncing their faith because they truly had faith. There were other believers who had cruel mockings and scourgings, verse 36. Yea, moreover, they were in bonds and imprisonments. They put them in jail. Would you and I, do we believe enough that we would go to jail before we denounced or quit serving Christ? Some of them, in verse number 37, were stoned. Some of them, the Bible teaches us, they were sawn in two asunder. For what? For their faith. Effective ministry requires us to exercise faith, to be willing to sacrifice if necessary. It also requires us to be willing to take some risk from time to time. Verse 37, stoned, sawn asunder, slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute. They had nothing. Some of these great people of faith had nothing. Afflicted, tormented, of whom the world, the Bible says, was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, and they wandered in mountains, in dens, and the caves of the earth. And these all, whether you were one that got to see God come through with a great deliverance through faith, or whether you were one who was sawed asunder, whether you were one who saw the fire quenched, or whether you were one who was destitute, wandering in the wilderness, these people all died in faith. And for every one of them, there were still things that God had promised them that were still out ahead of them that they had not yet received. People that were despised by their own family, like David, who didn't even make the lineup when they came to anoint the next king. People that were like Gideon, who said, I'm from the least family in the least tribe of the nation of Israel. Listen, if anybody ought to have hope, it's people like us, who the world would look at a lot of us and they would say, you could never, you would never. But the truth is, God has a pattern of using people just exactly like us to accomplish great things in his kingdom. Sometimes in our life, sometimes through our death and suffering.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hereshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you.